नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 20 एंटाइटल्ड बलि महाराज सरेंडर्स द यूनिवर्स, टेक्स्ट नंबर 13। सिंस द बोर्ड इज नॉट हियर, आई विल जस्ट बी रीडिंग इट आउट एंड देन वी कैन प्रोसीड विद द ट्रांसलेशन एंड द पर्पट। एष वा उत्तम श्लोको ना जिहास। ओके, यू वुड लाइक टू रिपीट? एष वा उत्तम श्लोको ना जिहासति यद्यशः हत्वा मैनं हरेत् युद्धे शयित निहतो मया। एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। इफ दिस ब्राह्मण रियली इज लॉर्ड विष्णु हु इज वर्शिप बाय वैदिक हिम्स, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. Purport: Bali Maharaj's statement that Vishnu would lie down having been killed is not the direct meaning, for Vishnu cannot be killed by anyone. Lord Vishnu can kill everyone, but he cannot be killed. Thus, the real meaning of the words lie down is that Lord Vishnu would reside within the core of Bali Maharaj's heart. Lord Vishnu is defeated by a devotee through devotional service. Otherwise, no one can defeat Lord Vishnu. Krishna: if this Brahmana really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. It's quite a controversial statement. Actually, this brings an old memory back. The Radha Gopinath Ashram devotees know about this incident. Once Guru Maharaj called one of his senior disciples and told him, "I want you to die for me." So it's quite bewildering, such a statement. And then Guru Maharaj gave him a dhoti and told him, "Dye it with saffron." So, the principle is, a bona fide spiritual master is the ever well-wisher, not only of his disciples, but of all living entities. So, whenever a pure devotee, a bona fide spiritual master, they speak, sometimes, if the statement is bewildering, then we need another pure devotee to explain to us what actually is the purpose of this statement. Fortunately, we are protected by Prabhupada, and they say that the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are like the fencing which will prevent the cattle from straying away, looking after green grass. So in the same way, here we are protected by Prabhupada's wonderful purports. I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas before I try to speak something. Prabhupada directly resolves a puzzling statement right in the first line. He says, Bali Maharaj's statement that Vishnu would lie down having been killed is not the direct meaning. Lie down does not mean die, but means accept defeat. Even that is a little bewildering. How can the Supreme Lord be defeated? But it is further clarified. Only by pure devotional service is the Supreme Lord ever defeated. Yes, he likes to be defeated by his pure devotees, by their pure devotional service. The real meaning of the word lie down is that Lord Vishnu would reside within the core of Bali Maharaj's heart. Lord Vishnu is defeated by a devotee through devotional service. Otherwise, no one can defeat Lord Vishnu. King is supreme. The Lord is eternally, universally supreme. That is God. We had such great emperors like Alexander the Great, Napoleon the Great, Ashoka the Great, Akbar the Great. If not vanquished by another king, all the great emperors are simply vanquished by time in the form of death. So when people are praised as the great, the Lord silently says, if you think you are great, you'll see, just wait. In fact, Alexander realized this. His parting instruction to the generals was, first, let my physicians carry my coffin. Second, strew the path with all gold and jewels right up to the grave. Third, my outstretched open palms should hang outside the coffin. So his generals asked him, O king, why do you give such a kind of a very strange request? So he answered. First, he said, I want the people to know that nobody can save any living entity from the clutches of death, not even the physicians or the doctors. That is why I want the doctors to carry my coffin. Second, he said was, one cannot take away any of the riches with him at the time of his death. So do not waste time chasing wealth. That was his second instruction. That is why he asked all the wealth to be scattered along the road right up to the grave. And the third, everyone goes empty-handed. Khali hath aaya hai, khali hath jayega. So, empty-handed one comes and empty-handed one goes. So he wanted to show the world that he is leaving the world empty-handed. So these verses from verse number 2 right up to verse number 13. Because from the 14th verse, it is not Bali Maharaj will be speaking then. So, in these verses, actually we find the turning point of Bali Maharaj's life. He is advancing various arguments as to why he should surrender to Vamandev, who is Vishnu, politely telling Shukracharya of his intention to disobey his order of going back on his promise. It is an extraordinary decision he has taken, because he is disobeying his spiritual master. Secondly, he is displeasing the Brahmanas. In fact, the very strength of his victory over Indra and all the demigods was because he had pleased the Brahmanas. That even Devatas were unable to resist him. He had gained such power, and here he was ready to displease Shukracharya, who is a Brahmana. Third, he was willing to give up all his wealth, power, fame, glory, kingdom and everything. So if you consider these three points, he's taking a very drastic action. His decision to make such a great sacrifice and completely surrender to the Lord gave him actually eternal glory. But how did he come to the platform of taking such a drastic step? What forces catapulted Bali Maharaj to such towering heights, high above ordinary mortals, be it demons or demigods? His name is enshrined in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam for eternity. Of course, there are so many factors that attracted the Lord's mercy to Bali Maharaj. Primarily, his connection to a pure devotee, Prahlad. Guru Maharaj has explained in a lecture that because of his connection to Prahlad, the Lord personally came to deliver Bali Maharaj and glorify him. Bali Maharaj was actually a pure devotee at heart, born in a family of demons. The Lord came to give his personal association to Vamandev, as Vamandev. He had promised he would protect 21 generations before and after Prahlad. So, to maintain his promise, killing Bali was ruled out. The Lord therefore came as a Brahmana to beg for alms and give Bali Maharaj a chance to surrender in such a way as to attain eternal glory. Ravana was killed and was forced to surrender. Actually, that made Ram glorious. Bali Maharaj was arrested and insulted. That made Bali Maharaj glorious. The ways in which the Lord performs his Leela is inconceivable. This also reveals an underlying principle. Actually, the story of Mukunda, as described in Chaitanya Leela, explains the glory and the importance of devotion to God. The Lord was performing, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing the Mahaprakash Leela and bestowing benedictions to his intimate associates. Mukunda, who sang very beautifully, was very dear to the Lord and was one of his intimate associates. But he was not being called forward. He was hiding behind a curtain. One by one, the Lord called so many of his intimate associates, and Mukunda was just waiting, hiding behind a curtain. Srivas Thakur noticed this. He felt sorry for Mukunda. He went up to Lord Chaitanya and he reminded him. But on being told about Mukunda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually thundered. He said, "He cannot see me. He is an offender. With devotees, he praises me, but with Mayapadis, he joins them and beats me with a stick." When asked, "Can he never see you?" he said, "After 10 million births." Mukunda, on hearing this, became ecstatic and started leaping in the air. It was a leap of faith, actually. He was ready to wait for 10 million births just to see the Lord. He was overjoyed. He was not dejected. 10 million births would deject anybody else. But this was the turning point in Mukunda's life. This is a symptom of a devotee's abject surrender to the will of the Lord and graciously accept whatever the Lord bestows as his supreme mercy. No questioning. Mukunda could have questioned, "Why 10 million births? You have given your mercy to so many of them. Forget everybody else. What about Sukhi or Dukhi? She was just a maidservant of Srivas Thakur's house. But you called her and you bestowed her mercy upon her also. Then would I not be a fit candidate for your mercy? Why do you show so much of difference?" Nothing like that. Mukunda simply accepted the Lord's decision with complete and abject surrender. Actually, I would like to read out some of these verses which are so beautiful from Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Mukunda heard the Lord's chastisement, he actually was regretting that, yes, what the Lord is telling is absolutely true. I have no devotion.
Kitahaya nama nilo muni hena bhakti aratoma dekhi bare achamore shakti.
I am an insignificant creature, for I have not accepted such devotional service. So what power do I have to see you, my Lord? This is submission. This is the sign of a pure devotee. And on seeing Mukunda's lamentation, actually, what is the Lord's response?
Mukundera kheda dekhi prabhu vishwambara lajjita haiya kichu karila utara.
On seeing Mukunda's lamentation, Lord Vishwambar became somewhat embarrassed and spoke to him as follows. He said,
Tumi yata kahile sakala satyahaya bhakti vina ama dekhile o kichunaya.
Whatever you have said is indeed true, for one cannot achieve perfection without devotional service. Even if he sees me face to face. We have seen that Duryodhan was face to face with Krishna. Arjun was also face to face with Krishna. But the reaction was quite opposite. Arjun was pleased, surrendered to Krishna. Duryodhan defied the authority of the Lord and he was prepared to arrest the Lord when he came to his court as Shantidut. So that is what the Lord says. Even if he sees face to face, without devotion, one cannot see me. Pashyanapi na pashyati. The Lord's reciprocation for the wonderful devotion of Mukunda.
Ehi tora satya kaho bada priya tumi veda mukhe bali achi yata kichu ami ye ye karma kaile haya ye ye divya gati taha gochi yate pare kahara shakati muni paro sakala anyata karibare sarva vidi upare mohara adhikare.
This is the Lord's response. You are my dear, you are very dear to me. I am telling you the truth. Who has the power to nullify the various duties and their concomitant results I have prescribed in the Vedas? It is I alone who can change these, for my authority is beyond all rules and regulations. And he enunciates the principle.
Muni satya kariyacho apanara muhe mora bhakti vina kona karme kichuna he.
I have established the fact that no activity is fruitful without devotional service. This is an underlying principle in every devotee's life. Actually, devotion is the crux of everything. It is the essence of all the activities a devotee is doing, be it chanting, be it engaging in various services of the Lord. All these things can also be done without devotion. But when it is done with devotion, then it is accepted by the Lord. The Lord very nicely says in the Bhagavad Gita,
Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahartam ashnami prayatatmana.
So he is enunciating the principle in a very simple way. He says, you can just give me a leaf, a tulsi leaf, patram, pushpam, an ordinary flower, which is available to anybody, phalam, any fruit, not at all difficult to acquire, and water, which is freely available. So, to please the Lord, the ingredients that are required are not at all expensive or hard to get or difficult. But there is one ingredient which is very special, and that is devotion, love. Without that, anything you offer him, the Lord is not pleased. And with that, you just offer him a tulsi leaf and he is more than pleased. We have that famous story of Rukmini Devi. So, she just put one tulsi leaf and immediately the balance tilted. We all know that story. So, that actually shows what the Lord actually is looking for. He is Bhavagrahi Krishna. And what he is telling Mukunda, you are very dear to me. I am telling you the truth. Who has the power to nullify the various duties and their concomitant results I have prescribed in the Vedas? It is I alone who can change these, for my authority is beyond all rules and regulations. This is what makes Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sometimes people question, why you people are worshipping only Krishna? And they feel that just as the multinational companies promote their own brand, because this is the Hare Krishna movement, you are promoting Krishna. But then, here is the actual reason. He says his supremacy. Why is he supreme? He says, sorry for repeating, but I don't find better words than this. Who has the power to nullify the various duties and their concomitant results I have prescribed in the Vedas? The Vedas are full of prescriptions, so many things. And sometimes people get caught in the crossfire of the instructions in the Vedas. But then he says, it is I alone who can change these, for my authority is beyond all rules and regulations. The lawmaker can change the law. That is Krishna's special position. He is not just another demigod. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is why he says boldly, declare it, O Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. And he calls upon every living entity, Sarva Dharman Parityajama Mekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo Mokshekshyami Mahashucham. It is on this authority he can say the statement that you simply abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. Have no fear, I will relieve you from the consequences of all sinful reactions. That is his supreme position. So, it is a very safe proposition to simply surrender to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There may be so many complications, there may be so many reactions of one's karma. Sometimes people are also afraid, what if I start worshipping Krishna, then the demigod whom I was worshipping, will there be a reaction from them? And when they hear the story of Indra, you know, pouring rains on the Vrajavasis, they become still more afraid. They say, see that, I told you, no? I told you I had this fear and now it is confirmed. If I will be put in that position, the Vrajavasis were okay, comfortable, Krishna was with them. But I am shelterless, what will I do? No. Krishna's promise is, I will protect you. Unequivocal promise he is making that yes, he is available for all. But what is required to accept that? A little bit of faith. They say faith, the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. That is the power of faith. And the Lord's inconceivable potency is something one cannot understand with logic or reason. Unfortunately, we are so trained to understand, accept everything with logic and reason. But what is the consequence of that? We try to apply that same thing in understanding the position of the Supreme Lord. Then we are committing a very grave error, and that is trying to use a microscope to see the stars. You can't use a kind of different kind of a tool for a different application. So if you want to know about the Lord, and if you want to understand the inconceivable potency of the Lord, if you want to understand how great is God, then what you need is not reason or intelligence. What you need is faith. Only that, just as a motor car, which can take you all across the land. You take the costliest of the motor car, a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW. Of course, nowadays there are so many new names. I am not updated on that. But then, it can take you just to the shore of the ocean. It cannot help you cross the ocean. To cross the ocean, you need either a ship or an airplane, but not with a motor car. Similarly, with reasoning and logic, one can never understand the glories of the Supreme Lord. One can never understand the factual position of the Supreme Lord. For that, you have to draw upon another kind of faculty the Lord has bestowed upon us, and that is faith. So in a capsule form, to understand this principle, we can understand it like this. Krishna has no limit. It is better if you know it. Submit and admit that you cannot outwit. And if you still persist, you can't just exist. Father of Prahlad and Ravan did try and ended in the pan like the proverbial fry. So lock up your reason and pack up your ego. Bring up your faith and in the holy name bathe. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Even if you don't have faith, if you simply chant, the Lord will supply you the faith. He says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Devotion means loving service. Surrender that is based on love is dear to the Lord. The Lord is so powerful, he can force anybody to surrender. It's not difficult for him to force anybody to surrender. But that is not what he wants. He wants surrender based on love. Why one cannot see the Lord without devotion? Pashyan api na pashyati. It is explained here. Just a minute, yeah.
Bhakti namani lehaya mora marma dukha, mora dukhe guche tara darshana sukha.
If one does not accept devotional service, I feel aggrieved at heart, and as a result, he is obstructed from seeing me. The Lord is personally explaining. What more we want? If one does not accept devotional service, it actually gives pain to the Lord. And here he is directly telling it. He is explaining. This is one of the reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous incarnation. Because he reveals his inner heart like he never did before. And therefore, when one does not accept devotional service, no matter what kind of austerities one may perform, Hiranyakashipu did the most grievous kind of austerities. Even Vritasur did that. But what was the result? They were not able to please the Lord. On the contrary, they created problems for the Lord. Then we have this wonderful episode of the washerman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about that.
Jaya Jaya Nija Nama Vinoda Acharya.
1 minute. Where am I? 240. No, I've come to the wrong one. 1 minute. Yes. This is 250.
Raja ke o dekhila magila tarathani tatapi vanchita haila yate premanani.
Even though the washerman saw me, when I asked him for something, he was deceived because he had no devotion. We all know that when Lord Krishna came to Mathura, he came across so many people and he had so many interactions. And he was awarding his mercy in his own sweet way to the different people according to their reciprocation. So when the washerman, Krishna had approached the washerman and he asked him for the clothes. But what did the washerman say? He says, I cannot give this. This is the king's clothes. You cannot have this. And the result was, he could not understand the mercy of the Lord and he could not understand the greatness of the Lord. He could not see through his good fortune, that the Lord has personally come here to bestow his supreme mercy, and he lost that wonderful opportunity. He was actually killed by Krishna at that point of time. And then Krishna he bestowed his greatest mercy on Mukunda.
Yekhane yekhane haya mora avatar tathaya gayana tumi hai be amar.
Wherever I incarnate, you will accompany me as my singer. This was the great benediction that Mukunda got, that he would always accompany the Lord and always sing for him. So this way we can understand how the Lord has personally explained the glory of devotion. And when a person accepts devotional service in his life, only then he can actually see the true position of the Lord in no matter in whatever disguise the Lord may come. Sometimes devotees can ask this question to themselves. In our normal dealings, we walk around. We never think that it is going to be possible, so we have never given it a thought. But if and if while you are walking on the street, Krishna comes face to face with you, what will happen? What will you do? What will you react? We have to ask ourselves this question. But the biggest question is, even if he comes, will we be able to recognize him? Until and unless we have that sincerity of devotion, we may not. So Guru Maharaj, in one of his lectures on the topic of Bali Maharaj, he says, devotion is our relationship with God. In this lecture, he has given some wonderful instructions. He says, greed is aspiration for more, is the cause of bondage and suffering. If you cannot find satisfaction in our relationship with God, then it is not possible to find satisfaction with any of our endeavors in this material world. Bali Maharaj kept on expanding his kingdom. He conquered the heavens. He conquered the devatas. And still he was aspiring for more. It is only when he gave all to Krishna, that is Vamandev, he was supremely satisfied. So a few lessons Guru Maharaj has very nicely brought out is, glory of modern technology is fueled by greed. Enemy is not modern technology, it is greed. Second, the most miserly and unfortunate is that person who does not realize God before he dies. That is the sole purpose of life, not accumulation of wealth. Third, one who does not teach you to surrender to God is not Guru. This is the clear understanding of who is Guru. And fourth, accepting God means accepting his inconceivable potency. To understand this inconceivable potency of the Lord, there are two nice stories which Guru Maharaj has related. Of course, we all know the story of the sparrow and the ocean. The story is very simple, but the meaning has been nicely brought out. The story is, there was a sparrow and she laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean. The waves of the ocean and came and took away her eggs. And she wanted to save her children, the eggs. And so, she defied the authority of the ocean. She had no capacity to challenge the ocean because the ocean was almighty and she was so insignificant. But she displayed a wonderful quality, and that was sincerity and determination. And what happened when she, with sincerity and determination, started taking one drop of water from the ocean and throwing it on the land and telling the ocean, I am going to dry you up. Then came Garuda to extend his protection to his little sister. And when Garuda came, the ocean promptly returned the eggs. This is an example of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. An insignificant living entity has only one capacity, and that is to endeavor with sincerity and determination. we need not calculate. Again, we have to keep aside the logic and reasoning. As in the case of Jatayu. If Jatayu had calculated, he would never have challenged Ravan. He was old, he was infirm, Ravan was powerful. How could he ever face Ravan in a straight fight? He knew it was foregone conclusion that he would be slain in that fight. But he held up his determination and his sincerity. He wanted to serve Lord Ram. So the same quality, if we imbibe and inculcate in our lives, then what happens is, the inconceivable potency of the Lord, like Garuda, will manifest in our lives also, and we do not know how things will materialize or how the success will come, but it happens simply by the great mercy of the Lord. So this is one nice example in which the Guru Maharaj very nicely explained. He says, the ocean of material existence will send all the waves to take away those eggs. These eggs are actually our goal of life. That is God realization. And the ocean of material existence will keep on disturbing that, trying to take it away. It is only when we exhibit that determination and that sincerity, which is within our means to do, we cannot actually dry the ocean. But then the Lord, by His potency, will see to it that He makes our devotion successful. Also, there is another one beautiful story, which is, I have not heard it before, but I heard it in the recording of Guru Maharaj. This is, we all know that as the story proceeds, Vamandev arrested Bali, and ultimately he also benedicted Bali. He took away everything and he benedicted him. He gave him a planet more opulent than Indralok, the Sutala Loka, and there the Lord personally went to reside as his doorkeeper. Maharaj further said, not only the Lord went there, he said Prahlad Maharaj also went there. And he said Bali Maharaj's wife also went there. So Bali had nothing to lose. He had everything to gain because the Lord was personally with him. Now, what happened was, days were passing by and Vamandev was serving as the doorkeeper in Sutala Loka. And it was the practice of King Bali, who was very charitable by nature, to receive his subjects. So many people were coming and receiving charity from the king. And one by one they were all coming. There was one old lady who was standing at the back of the line. And she would not move ahead in the line. She would send everybody ahead. So many people were coming. Bali Maharaj noticed this from far. Ultimately, when all the people had finished coming, he walked up to that lady and he was very impressed by her patience, humility, tolerance. And he said, "Oh lady, I have been seeing that for a long time you have been always keeping yourself at the back of the line. You have not been moving forward. Tell me, what can I do for you?" She said, "Oh king, if you really want to do something for me, then I have one small request. Please send your doorkeeper home." Who was the doorkeeper? He was Lord Vamandev. She said, "I am Lakshmi Devi. I am deprived of his association and I want him back." Now, this was another test for Bali Maharaj. Because he had lost everything, he surrendered everything and he gained the association of Vamandev. And now Lakshmi Devi has coming to take away Vamandev. So what does he have with him? He is back to square one. He is having nothing with him. So again another test manifested in front of Bali Maharaj. It is at this point of time that the Lord intervened. So knowing that Bali Maharaj would say yes, he would not say no, and he would be willing to forego, the Lord stepped in and he said, "Yes, I will go to Vaikuntha with Lakshmi, but my dwarf form of Vamandev will always reside here in Sutala Loka as the doorkeeper. This is the Lord's Achintya Shakti. If we are in our offices, we are not at home. If we are in the temple, then we are not outside. But this is the great potency of the Lord. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshvavastitha. So he says, Pashyami yogam aishwaram. His mystic opulence is beyond logic and reasoning. One cannot understand. He is everywhere and he is nowhere. He is inside and he is outside. In the Ishopanishad also he states that. That is his mystic potency. That is his greatness. So here the Lord saved his dear devotee from a very, very difficult predicament. And he satisfied both Lakshmi and Bali Maharaj, simultaneously pleased both of them. So when we surrender unto the Supreme Lord, we have this great protection. That though we may be facing conflicting situations in life, which is very difficult to resolve, by the mercy of the Lord alone, these situations will get resolved in our own life. So these stories are not that something happened 10,000 years ago, something that is there in the pages of Bhagavatam. No, these stories are relevant to us here and now. And therefore, they have great instructive value. So they are not pastimes which are only of academic interest. They are pastimes of relevance in our daily life. So, this way, again, yes, we can understand the whole purpose of the Leela of Maharaj Bali, which the Lord enacted as Vamandev, in a capsule form. It is never in vain to faithful remain. Give and gain, be free of pain. What's not yours, you can't retain. Don't be profane, you better be sane. For the Lord is the master, just and bright. Serve and surrender is our only right. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. If there are any corrections, any suggestions, then please. Otherwise, I can end the class. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.